to be able to stand before you tonight, and it's not a privilege that I take this life. I never want to abuse this. Now, Bishop Banks, he knows, as I've already been ratted out, I do a lot of notes. And Bishop Banks, from the things that you've already said tonight, if you need proof, I can email you my notes to tell you that they were already in my notes. But I do recognize tonight that when Bishop Banks called me and gave me this opportunity tonight, I've got it here in my notes. He did not do it so that I could judge you, nor did he do it so that I could come down here and straighten you out. The invitation that he gave to me, it had an unspoken implication to it that said, preacher, you better seek God's face. You better get something from the Lord. And when you stand before my people, you better say it with grace, and you better say it with humility. I believe it was unspoken, but there's no doubt about it. It was in the message, and I have every intention of doing just that tonight. I am not here to judge anyone. I do want to encourage you to hear and receive what I believe that the Spirit is saying unto us. My commitment to God, and my commitment to God, is to do my very best with His anointing to preach the Word of God, whether it's hitting me or helping you. I am here tonight. I trust that God will help me to yield myself to His anointing to where that I can bring honor unto Him and I can bring edification unto the body of Christ. That is my desire tonight. Won't you just stand with me one more time? I won't ask you to stand for the reading of the Word, but I will ask you to help me pray tonight. Lord God, I honor you for this honor. God, I honor you for this privilege. Lord, I'm standing before your people, God, the people that you love and the people that you care for so deeply, Lord. And therefore, God, I want to help them, oh Lord, because that's what you want me to do. I'm asking for that anointing tonight that will enable me to do just that. God, not only, Lord, that anointing, but Lord, help me to yield to the anointing. Oh, God, that we might be able to hear tonight what the Spirit would say unto the church. And God, will give you the honor. We'll give you the thanksgiving for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God, I thank you. You may be seated tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was speaking at a conference last week, and I will allude to that a little bit more in just a few moments. But the host pastor, he was praying over me prior to me coming to the pulpit, and during his prayer, he asked the Lord to of course to anoint me, and then he said something, and I can't quote it verbatimly, but he said, Lord, he ministers in an unorthodox manner. Now, I had preached for him before, and he invited me back, and so I did not feel that, I did not sense in any way whatsoever that he meant it in a critical way. And after I preached, he made it very clear to the congregation that he had invited me, and he said, I did so at the explicit direction of the Lord. And after I ministered to them, he said, I know now without a doubt that it was God who told me to do that. I wasn't offended at what he said, but it still, it got my attention. I went back and I thought I knew what it meant, but I just, you know, come on, I'm human. And so I looked it up, and unorthodox, it means contrary to that which is usual. It means that which is contrary to the traditional. And as I thought about that, and I suspect that any of you that heard and remember my message last year, I mean, you could agree with him. I am unorthodox. And I'm going to be praying more regarding my lack of orthodoxy. If there is, and I've got this in my notes right here, Bishop, I said, if there is a more effective effective style of delivery that the Lord wants me to use, and I want to yield to Him, folks. As of now, I haven't felt Him redirecting me, but I want to be sensitive unto His Spirit, because I believe that it's important that we follow the Lord not only in the Word, but also in the delivery. If the delivery isn't right, then the effectiveness of the Word can be compromised. And so I want to be obedient unto the Lord. But you know, lack of orthodoxy. I'm not exactly sure how that we are supposed to do things in a usual manner when the Lord works in mysterious ways. I'm not exactly sure, Elder White, how to bring that all together, but maybe by the time I get done in the prayer closet, maybe I'll have a better understanding about that. But tonight I would like to take you to a very familiar text, and you, like I said, you can remain seated, because I am going to read the 23rd Psalm to you. This psalm is labeled as a Psalm of David. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I cannot say with absolute certainty, but in close to 40 years of ministry, I do not believe that I have ever preached from the 23rd Psalm as a primary text. Someone once said that only shallow preachers preach from Psalms. But I hear Paul telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And since I do not see where Paul made any exception to the Psalm, I am going to go ahead and I'm going to accept it as being anointed and profitable Word of God. Hopefully you're not going to see this message as shallow tonight, because I do believe that the Lord is intending it as a solid Word for us. I came to Tennessee with the intention of preaching a very different message. A message that was conceived in my spirit by you, Pastor Abram, 2 years ago. 2 years ago. And God has blessed me with... I've still got your message on my phone, on my recorder. And every time that I listen to it, it blesses me. And I thought the Lord was going to refresh that in my spirit. And I wanted to share it with you. But after getting to the room on Sunday night, I felt the Lord taking me in a different direction. Regarding the text that I read to you tonight, one writer has said that the 23rd Psalm is one of the best known and most loved literary works in the world. And it may well be the best poem ever written. If a minister wants to invite people to participate with them at a funeral or a similar venue, the 23rd Psalm is a good text to go to, because so many people are able to recite that. And, you know, as you saw from the text, it's only 6 verses there, and many preachers could probably preach that in a single setting, but you know me better than that. And so I'm not even going to attempt to do that. My effort is going to be toward about 1.5 verses. Let me begin by emphasizing verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd," the psalmist said, "and I shall not want." Regardless of how many people can recite this psalm, the only ones that can claim the comfort and the provisions that's contained within this psalm are are the ones to whom the Lord is their shepherd.
All right.
The Lord is not our shepherd, then we cannot claim the balance of the provisions within this psalm. When we submit ourselves to the uncompromised leadership and the care of the Lord as our shepherd, then and only then can we rest in the comfort and the provisions of this particular psalm. I said the uncompromised leadership and care. You see, many will submit unto the Lord as their shepherd on certain days or under certain circumstances, but the challenge comes when we are compelled to do it consistently, regardless of what the day is. If it's Sunday, praise be to God. If it's Monday, it's still got to be the Lord is our shepherd. And if it's Thursday or Friday, God help us to yield ourselves and submit ourselves unto the leadership of the Lord as our shepherd. Jesus was emphasizing his care for the lost in a parable that's recorded in Matthew chapter 18. And he spoke there of a shepherd that had 100 sheep. And one of those sheep had gone astray. The Bible tells us that he left in the 99 that were saved. And he went looking for the one that was in danger. You see, our security is gained. And our security is sustained while that we are following the shepherd. Should we ever cease to follow the shepherd, then I will tell you, danger is certain.
Right.
Danger is certain. Amen. So the good shepherd, he left the 99 in safety and he went after the one that was in danger. So if we want the provisions and we want the comfort of the 23rd Psalm, we're going to have to remain submitted unto the Lord as our shepherd.
Yeah.
Now that, folks, that's just Christianity 101. I'm not telling you anything new. But the psalmist, he also said in Psalm 34 and 10, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now this psalmist's son, he took it one step further. In Proverbs 13 and 25, Solomon said, the righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. So if we want to summarize this part of the psalm, I believe that we can say that our wants being met will depend on whether or not the Lord is our shepherd. If the Lord is not our shepherd, our wants are not going to be met.
Amen.
As I was contemplating on an experience that I had recently, I felt there was something more that the Lord was speaking to me through that experience. The conference that I referenced earlier where the host pastor was praying over the unorthodox manner that I preach. I was in Camden, New Jersey. And the conference was last Saturday morning that I was speaking in it. But Camden, it's a bit unique in that the crime rate in Camden is about 20% higher than the national average. Statistically speaking, a person has about a 1 in 31 chance of being a victim of a crime while in Camden. The church where I was ministering, it was located in what most people would call the hood. Now, regardless of all of the crime statistics that I mentioned and certainly could have mentioned, there's also about a 1 in 1 chance of feeling the presence of God in that church where I was at. One of my sisters, my natural sisters, went with me on Saturday morning, and you'd really have to know how paranoid my sister gets to fully appreciate what I'm saying. But when she first heard that I was going to Camden to preach, she begged me not to go. And she begged me, especially do not go to the night services. But some of the other saints of the church were going with me on Sunday morning, so Joel went with me as well. She called me on Monday after I got here, and she told me to never go back to that church without me. She said, even if it is 1 o'clock in the morning, because she was talking about the presence of God being so real, the presence of God being so strong in that church. I mentioned all of that to say that it is possible to cheat ourselves out of great blessings. us as we attempt to figure out and possibly even dictate where and how and when God is going to move. All because you see, some of the greatest blessings of God can come in some of the most surprising times and in the some of the most surprising manners. The text that I really want to focus on as part of my message tonight is actually in verse 5 of this psalm. And just the first portion of that. Because the first portion, the psalmist says, "Thou preparest a table before me." I want to preach to you tonight about the prepared table. I'm talking about the table that God prepares for us. After the service that Saturday morning, the hospitality team had prepared a lunch for us. And I went down and I got in the line with the rest of the people. And someone came to me and they insisted, "No, you don't do this." And they directed me to a certain table. And I did what they requested me to do. And one of the sisters, she prepared a plate for me. And she brought me that plate. And on the plate, there was some chicken. I cannot tell you how the chicken was fixed, but I can tell you it was some wonderful chicken. It was wonderful chicken. There was some rice on my plate, and then there was some cabbage, and there was some spinach on my plate. Now, if I had gone through the line, and I hope I'm not getting myself in trouble, but had I gone through the line, I will tell you that my plate obviously would have been full, but I can tell you two things that would not have been on my plate. There would have been no cabbage on my plate, and there would have been no spinach on my plate. You see, we grew up poor. We grew up poor, and the rule of our house was eat what we had, or, well, actually, that was the gist of the rule right there. Doing it without really wasn't an option, because it was really, if you got it, you better eat it while you do have it. And you see, I grew up a preacher's kid, and so things were like that. I remember one time my oldest brother, he was complaining about the food, and my brother Larry, I thank God for the Larrys, but my brother Larry told him, he said, "The Bible said to eat what's set before you and shut your mouth." And that was obviously a loose translation of Luke 10 and 8. But out on our table as a kid, it was normally what was grown in the garden or what was really cheap at the store. And so consequently, there was some things that I ate as a child that I got tired of. And I really did not ever want to eat again. Anyway, the sister in Camden, she brought my plate. And I wasn't going to take any chance at all on offending her. So I took a bite of the cabbage. And man, it was fantastic. I never remember cabbage tasted like that before. But it was just awesome. And then I took a bite of the spinach, and it was even better. I am sitting there. I would have gladly traded my chicken for someone else's spinach and their cabbage. But it was just preachers at the table, and none of them were about to give it up. I don't blame that before your brother, before yourself up there. But anyway, what I began to feel the Lord speak to me was this. If I had fixed my plate, I would have missed out on what proved to be my favorite part and the best part of the meal. Right. Hear me tonight, church, if you please. As I was thinking about this, I had to wonder how often the Christian buffet, if you please, has replaced the Lord's table.
All right.
Those that follow me on my Facebook, you may see me oftentimes checking in at the Shady Maple Smorgasbord. Bishop and Sister Banks knows about that. It is located in the rural area of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, down in the heart of the Amish country. And I saw one of their billboards the other day, and if I read it correctly, it said it is now the largest buffet in the U.S. They have over 200 feet of buffet. In addition to that, they have 8 grills to where they are cooking the individual meats to order. The website says they served 1.3 million customers last year, and some of those came in on 2,700 different tour buses that brought the people there. They can seat over 2,000 at a time. And if you go on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening, you may be waiting in line for 2 hours trying to get a table. That tells you a little bit about the buffet. But regardless of my size and how much that I obviously like to eat, I will promise you that I have never ate some of everything that they have to offer. I will also promise you that I have never put something on my plate that I knowingly did not like. I can name several of the things that I do normally eat when I go there, but that would not be fair to you. Because you see, most of the restaurants that serve those kinds of meals, they will be closed when you get out tonight. And then if you should get up and you go out to get some of that now, everybody's going to know you're more concerned about the carnal than you are the spirit. So I sort of got you there. So let me just compromise. I'm not going to name the food and you don't walk out on me. How's that? Now, we're living in a day of technology. It's already been mentioned this week. And God knows it has been used to do a lot of damage. Sort of like religion. You know what I mean? Yeah. But there are also many ways that we can use technology to our advantage if we want to. Now, between the churches in Emmanuel, the churches that Emmanuel fellowships with, the churches in our communities, the preachers that are on television, the preachers that are on radio, the preachers that are on the internet, there are thousands of ministers that you can listen to. If you want to listen to some music, if you want Southern Gospel, you just go to your web browser to the menu bar and you type in Southern Gospel and it's there. Or if that's too much, you just say, Alexa. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But it'll be there. If you like gospel bluegrass, type in gospel bluegrass. If you want contemporary gospel, you type it in and it's there. If you want George Jones, you better watch out for the preacher Monday night. But anyway, what I'm saying is, if you want something, we got the technology today to where that we can get it. And so I'm suggesting to you that Christianity, and I'm using the term loosely there, but Christianity has become one of these things that is like a buffet. You can go down the line and you can
All right. That's good.
If it don't look good to you, you just leave it because there's plenty of other to choose from. And what I'm talking about tonight is when you and I fix our own plate, we may leave off some of what is the very best for us. We may leave off what we really need. If we have a special need and for which we need to hear from God, it may be a need like unlike any other needs that we have had before. And yet, if we only consume that which we are familiar with, if we only consume that which we like, it is a very good possibility that we will leave unsatisfied.
Yes.
But there may even be a chance that the need that we have existed, otherwise, it might be because we've only been eating that which we are familiar with, that which we have determined that we like. And I just said, but what would happen if we would really let the Lord prepare the table before us? What would really happen if we would let the Lord fix our plate?
I wonder
what might be on that plate if it was the Lord that was fixing it. Brother Brent, when he was calling us to worship last night, he said something to the effect of getting our eyes off of what we want or how we want it and simply letting God have his way. Oh, Brother Brent was so very right in that. You see, we can come and we can sing, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way." And we can say things like, "Let the Lord have his way in the service." But I believe, church, that it's possible that our songs and the phrases that we say sometimes, they can become meaningless rhetoric. They can become meaningless rhetoric. I'm talking about vain words. They're empty words. Is it possible that we come to church and we leave church in the same manner because we insisted on having it our way? You see, this isn't Burger King. If we insist on having it our way, the Lord will probably allow us to leave unsatisfied. But it's not the one. It's the ones that are going to be following the Lord as his shepherd, as her shepherd. Those are the ones that's not going to be wanted. And so you see, we need the leadership of the Lord in everything that we do. Just as the bishop said long ago, when we preach, we better pray. And that means pray before we preach. And when we're singing, we need to pray before we sing. When we I even like for people to pray before they testify, because I've seen a lot of damage done to what was intended as testimony. Is it possible that we're missing out on some spiritual delicacies because they're not familiar to us? Or maybe they're not being served by our favorite or our preferred server. You should not be surprised that I like bread. I can make a meal out of some good bread. But Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The context there was Satan was tempting Jesus and trying to get him to satisfy his natural hunger. But Jesus insisted that the spiritual is far more needful than the natural. You might be thinking, well, preacher, my emphasis is on my spiritual needs. That's why I pick the preachers. That's why I pick the singers. And that's why I pick my friends. Because I am so very careful where I get my spiritual nourishment from. Let me tell you something. You're absolutely right. You do have to be very careful in that. But I'm not questioning your intentions with that tonight. But I ask you to consider Romans 8 and verses 26 and 27 with me. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If we don't know how to pray as we ought to, what makes us think that we might know what we need to eat? I'm saying that it's important to let the Lord prepare the table. I'm even saying it's important to let the Lord fix our plate for us. Something that I found interesting was that in verses 26 and 27, it speaks about the Spirit making intercession for us. But despite the English translation being the same, there's two different Greek words that's being translated there. In verse 26, it's saying that we don't know how to pray as we ought, so the Spirit comes and it intercedes for us. An example might be when Paul was praying that the thorn would be taken away from him. You know that thorn in the flesh. And instead of the Lord taking the thorn away, he just told him why he needed it. And I saw that. And if someone in tune with the Lord as the Apostle Paul was, if he was struggling with knowing what was best for him, don't feel bad at me if I suggest that sometimes you and I don't always know. That's why it's important that we let the Lord prepare the table before us. Paul said, and you're familiar with it in 12 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But then Paul said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Question for you tonight. Paul prayed 3 times about this thorn. After which time of praying do you think that Paul got the answer? Now, you see, I've always imagined him getting the answer after the 3rd time that he prayed, because there's been many times that Brother Jason and I have prayed and I've asked the Lord for something, and it was after multiple times of praying that I begin to realize the answer. But I'm suggesting, because you see, the Bible doesn't really say when he answered him. I'm suggesting that maybe the Lord gave him the same answer every time. Maybe he did, and maybe it wasn't until the 3rd time that Paul really accepted or acknowledged the answer. Because I've been there too. But something else that I see about this, Jesus said, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Now, the Greek word that is translated weaknesses there, it means feebleness, it means disease, frailty, or sickness. It is the word that is used to describe the condition of the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. It is the word that is used to describe that crippling condition of that 38-year-old man down by the pool of Bethesda. It is also used to describe the sickness of Lazarus prior to his death. And so despite the dreadful condition of each of those cases, despite how threatening, despite how limited, even how deadly those sicknesses could be, in Paul's case, the Lord's strength was perfected through those weaknesses. When Paul realized the benefits of that infirmity or of those infirmities, and by the way, it's the same Greek word translated infirmities that is translated weaknesses. He no longer was asking the Lord to take them away from him. Instead, he was rejoicing. He was rejoicing in them. I believe in healings.
Yes, sir.
I believe in miracles. I have been the recipient of many of them. Brother Toby testified of a miracle tonight. If you want to hear miracles, you give Brother Hart up here. He can give you a big archive.
Amen.
Of miracles. I believe tonight in signs. I believe in wonders. And I believe in miracles. I agree with Elder White last night 1,000%. The church needs them. The world needs to see them in the church. Oh, this isn't just about us. The world needs to see these signs and wonders and miracles in the church. We're going to keep on praying for the sick because the Bible tells us to pray for the sick. We're going to keep on believing for miracles because God wants to give them to us. Yet we see that Paul was with Paul, even with the sickness, that the Lord could use that to his spiritual advantage. Do you understand why I would say that we need to allow the Lord to prepare our table? We need to allow the Lord to fix our plate. Because you see, many times we simply do not know what is best for us. I told you earlier that you know, in verse 26, the words translated maketh intercession was different. In 26, after Paul said that the Spirit would help us by interceding with us for our prayer, he said that he searches the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I look at that and it's a different Greek word. In verse 27, it says that the Spirit searches the heart. And it compares that which is in the heart with that which is in the mind of the Spirit. And then he makes intercession. What that means is he deals with it. He deals with it. I suspect that most of us before have had the Lord deal with us. Sometimes the Lord just said, but I am so thankful that he loves me enough to deal with me. I'm so thankful that he doesn't leave me like that, but he deals with me. Have you ever gone to the doctor and with a particular problem and the doctor tells you, well, you need to change your diet? I heard that, you can imagine. But sometimes the Spirit may deal with us in the same manner. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will tell us that we need to change our spiritual diet. You see, maybe we have been eating the wrong things, or maybe we've not been eating enough of the right things. Oh, but the Spirit, he will come and he will deal with us. He sees what the heart is, and he knows what the mind of the Spirit.
Yes.
And sometimes the Holy Ghost says, you're going to have to change your diet.
Amen.
Yeah. All right.
Amen.
I keep thinking about that spinach. You probably know where I'm going. Y'all remember that cartoon Popeye, you know, before you were sanctified. You probably watched it. And you remember Popeye, he would get in that fight with Bluto, and Bluto, I mean, he would be still pumping on him. And then all of a sudden, Popeye, he would get that can of spinach, and he would pop it open, and he would eat. And all of a sudden, I mean, that strength, that extraordinary strength, and he would come and he would pounce on Bluto.
Yeah.
And he'd get his prize, olive oil.
Yeah.
Folks, I'm going to tell you, you just excuse the analogy tonight, because you and I, we're not fighting for olive oil. At least you better not be. But I want you to be assured of this one thing. We are in a fight. We are in a fight. And we're fighting for a prize, Elder. We're fighting for the prize of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. And our spiritual strength may sometimes be determined by that spiritual spinach shooting praise. If you'll understand what I'm saying, I'm simply saying that the Lord, He knows what is needed for the journey that is ahead of us. He knows where He wants to lead us. And the table that He prepares for us, it will provide the needed nourishment for the trip. Oh, I'm not even going to get into Elijah tonight, but my heart is, Lord, prepare the table before me.
Yes.
Lord, go ahead and fix my plate. Yes. Because, Lord, you know what I need. Yes. Lord, if you leave it to me, I might mess up. Right. I might leave that which I need the most. I might leave it off of my plate. As parents, you know how we needed to make our kids many times eat their vegetables. We would tell them what to eat and we would tell them what not to eat. We knew that we should not depend upon them to plan their diets. If they did, they would probably consist of those things that were not good for them. But is it so different with us and our spiritual diet? Is it so different with us, especially with that Christian buffet mentality where we just go and we just pick and where we choose? I'm telling you, the Lord wants to do something for us. The Lord is wanting to do something for us. And it's not going to happen through us picking and choosing. But it's going to come through the Lord's supplying. And us eating that which He supplies. Now, I hadn't even thought about this, Elder White. All the study and all the time that I've done. But brother, last night you took me to Judges 13 and verse 7. And I want you to understand that one of the reasons that, or another one of the reasons that the Lord puts what He does on our plates is it's not always for us. It may be because of others. Judges 13 and 7, the angel of the Lord is speaking unto Samson's mother. He said, "Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his birth." You see, he was set apart unto God, not just from birth, but from the womb. And what that meant was not only was Samson under dietary restriction, but Samson's mother was under dietary restrictions. Wow. I mean, God's hand was upon Samson directly from his birth, but indirectly while he was still in his mother's womb. God changed her diet.
Yes, he did.
Because the baby that was conceived in her needed her diet to be changed. You and I, as the body of Christ, you and I, as the bride of Christ,
all right,
we have a responsibility to position ourselves spiritually before the Lord in a manner that allows Him to conceive great things within us. And those things that have been conceived within us, we may very well be like Manoah's wife, Samson's mother. We may have to restrict our diet. We may have to eat certain things that maybe we would not have eaten under other circumstances. But now, as the bride of Christ, now it's not just us, but we can be. I preached a message one time that I titled, "Pregnant with Purpose." And I just looked at the clock. Let me kick it up here. God has a purpose for every one of us tonight, church. He wants to conceive signs, wonders, and miracles in us. But such a conception is going to require that divine intimacy. It doesn't just happen. It comes as a result of an intimacy. So the Lord is wanting us to be in that place with Him to where He can conceive this in us. And He wants us to accept the responsibility of carrying that baby and carrying that baby well to take care of that baby so that miracle can be birthed. Because I'm going to tell you, too many miracles have been aborted.
That's right.
We can talk in the natural. But right now, I'm talking about the spiritual.
Yeah.
Tell you, nursing mothers also have some dietary restrictions.
Yes, sir.
You see, it's not just about the mother. It's about the baby that is feeding off of the mother. There's many things that God can demand. Many reasons that God can demand a change in our spiritual diet. And so therefore it's important that we get away from the Christian buffet. It's important that we quit picking and we quit choosing what we want and when we want it. But rather, let's let God prepare the table before us. Let's let God fix our plate for us so we can have that which we need. He prepareth a table before me. Now, since we're apostolic tonight, I feel compelled to go to the book of Acts. Because can you preach an apostolic message without Acts? Acts chapter 10. Verse 10 says, you know, talking about Peter. He was up there praying and he got hungry. Isn't it amazing how the devil will always try to get us hungry when we're praying? But anyway, he had been praying and he got hungry. And verse 10 says, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it would have been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things, and fowl of the air. And they came a voice unto him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean. And the voice came unto him the second time, what God has cleansed, call thou not common. I'm going to ask you tonight, wonder how many times that the Lord has prepared a table before us. A table that had everything that we needed. But because it didn't look like what we were familiar with. Because it wasn't what we were accustomed to. Because it wasn't among our favorite. We say, not so, Lord. And I believe the Lord is saying to the church, you better. You better. If I give it to you. If you know what's good for you, that's what my mama would say. If you know what's good for you, we need to eat, folks. Lord, but I've never eaten. That's the problem with a lot of the church world. They haven't eaten what the Lord put before them. I believe a lot of our denominational friends, folks, many times the table has been right there in front of them. But because it wasn't familiar to them, it wasn't what they were accustomed to eating. But it's not just our denominational friends. I wonder how many times the Lord has prepared the table before us. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. There's still people that's resisting the table of the Lord today.
Yes.
God, help it not to be me. God, help it not to be us. Peter, let David talk to you a little bit. In 34 and 8, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Oh, yes.
Blessed is the man that trusteth, that trusteth in him. Let's trust the Lord with the preparation of our table.
Yes.
Let's trust the Lord even with fixing our plate. The Lord will never put something on your plate that isn't beneficial for his good purpose that he has in us. Sometimes the food will amaze us, as did the spinach and the cabbage, as it ministered to me. Sometimes that which the Lord gives us may even make us sick. Bear with me. Have you ever had a child that got a hold of some medicine or something that child was not supposed to have? Brother Andy, you remember rushing my daughter to the hospital, don't you? Many a bunch of time. But you know, they ingest something that they're not to, and you call poison control, and oftentimes one of the first things they ask is, do you have any Ipecac in the house? Because what that Ipecac will do, it will begin to induce vomiting. And that which they had ingested, theoretically at least, they will begin to vomit it out. And sometimes the Lord may give us something that doesn't taste good because we have ingested some stuff that wasn't good for us. Maybe while we were picking and maybe while we were choosing, we got a hold of some poison We got a hold of some things that were not good for us, and we might have to get it out of there a little bit. I believe that Paul's thorn was his epitaph. I mean, he said that, lest I should be exalted above measure because of all the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, some epitaph, if you don't mind, to get that potential exaltation out of him. Because it would have rendered him great spiritual harm. Sometimes the Lord, he puts some reproof on that table for us to eat.
Yes.
And the Lord's reproof, it may make us puke. Excuse my English. Sometimes his rebuke may make us repuke. Because sometimes we may got a whole lot of poison down in us. Maybe sometimes we got a whole lot of bad feelings. Got a whole lot of bitterness down in us. And maybe sometimes we got to puke a whole lot to get that all out of there. But the Lord knows what we need, Brother Adams.
Amen.
He knows what we know.
Yes, he does.
I've been saying for the last several months that I believe the Lord is wanting, I got it right here in my notes, Bishop. The Lord is wanting to take his true church to a higher level. To a higher level. But to get to that higher level, I think we're going to have to eat better. And I think we're going to have to eat that from the table which the Lord has prepared for us. I believe to get to that higher level, we're going to have to let the Lord fix our plate for us. God so loves the world, folks. He so loves the world that he wants to take his church to a higher level. Because he's not only doing it just for our sake, but he's doing it for the sake of the world. Because the world needs to see the church at a higher level. Religion has done much harm. It's time for the church to move in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost. It's time for the church to move at that realm that we haven't moved in a long time before. I'm not speaking generally today. I'm not rebuking. You let the Spirit, I'm just here tonight to try to edify us, but you let the Spirit speak to you on the individual basis, but we get a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, a demonstration of the Holy Ghost that will heal some of the harm that religion has done, a demonstration of the Holy Ghost that will convince some of the doubters, and a demonstration of the Holy Ghost that will make us a victorious people that God has called us to be. But it's going to demand that the Lord is our shepherd. It will demand that the Lord is our shepherd. And it's going to demand that we allow him to prepare the table before us. And I don't only want the table. I want him to fix my plate. Because, folks, I want what I need. And God knows what I need. I pray tonight. That we can just pull up to the table of God.
Yes.
Not looking for any substitutes. Not looking for any of the imitation. But going for the real thing.
All right.
I don't know. But don't get mad at me. I don't know if I'll ever eat good cabbage again. I don't know if I'll ever eat good spinach again. I don't know. Maybe the Lord just touched that miraculously to give me a message. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. It was the best fish. It was the best cabbage. Not only that I have ever eaten, but that I ever imagined. I'm telling you, God knows what we need.
Yes, he does.
If we fix our plate, we can mess up. We can miss out on some of the greatest blessings of God. Let's forget about the buffet. The buffet, many times will make you fat like I am.
Right. Come on.
But sometimes with that fat comes unhealthiness.
Right. Come on.
Okay. Sometimes with that fat can come disease after disease. So it's important that we let the Lord prepare the table before us.
Amen.
Let's let him fix your place.
Amen. Good work.